right. Thank you, Donna. Just saying, we good, Ernie? Okay, I just want to make sure out there, all those people out there watching. Hey, good morning. Look at somebody, give them a wave, a smile. Make it look like you look like you're happy to be here. And somebody a wink that says, good to be upright and taking nourishment today. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who monitors along with you, our online minister that I love dearly and so glad that he's with us each and every week to help out in keeping you guys in line online. And as always, if there's any questions you have, you can feel free to ask Dr. John. And if he doesn't have the answers, he will certainly get those for you. You know, today is a great, great day. It's a time that we come together to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And as I always say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. What a glorious, glorious thing to celebrate today is that through the resurrection, we have an opportunity for eternal life through Christ our Lord. I've shared that with some folks earlier today or just a little while ago. But having that chance to be in Israel just a couple of months ago and actually being not only at that tomb but walking into that tomb and then walking out of that tomb, I thought, you talk about footsteps of Jesus, that's pretty much what it was really like. They put him there, and I can attest for a fact, if somebody says, well, how do you know the tomb's empty? You know what I get to say now? I've been there, and there was nothing there. So I am tickled to death today as we come together to celebrate our resurrected Savior. I'm not going to introduce Jacob in a little bit because y'all already know who he is. We're just going to go on with our service as we celebrate our time together as we celebrate the resurrection. We're so glad that you are with us today and that you're taking that time and these moments to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who's that handsome guy up there? That caught my attention. Wow. I think I need an updated picture. What do you think? Need a little updated picture going on there. That's right. I thought, who is that? Oh, that's me. All right. But at any rate, listen, let me pray with us as we begin our time together today, and let's just enjoy celebrating our Savior together. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. Thank you so much, Lord, for Jesus Christ. Lord, for the fact that on the third day that stone was rolled away and out came Jesus, resurrected, Lord, conquering sin, death, and hell that we might have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you will help us to truly celebrate the resurrection every day of our lives, not just one time a year. And Lord, I thank you for the moment. I thank you for each and every person that you have brought here today. Lord, I ask a very special blessing upon them, upon their families, just because they have chosen to be here today. Lord, I know there are 10,000 other places that we could be, 10,000 other things that we could be doing. But as we pause this morning, Lord, I just pray a special blessing on each and every one here. Lord, we thank you for opportunities to be together today as family. And Lord, I pray that you will bless that time as only you can. Lord, just speak to our hearts today. Give us these moments of peace that as we come in here, we just take a deep breath and we don't worry about the cares of the world, but may we concentrate upon you, upon your word. Lord, today we thank you for the resurrected Savior that provides salvation for each and every one of us. Help us today as we worship. Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hymn number 159. Please stand as we sing.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your voice and triumph. Yeah.
Now we sing Because He Lives, number 3. Excuse me, number 407. Close.
God sent His Son.
Amen. What a wonderful day. He is risen. Roy's already said it. But because He lives, that's the power. So before we get started today, I thought it would be appropriate first to start with, did everybody get a session 5 note for today? Did everyone get a session 5? If you didn't, raise your hand. We'll get one to you quickly. Let me get one over here. If you didn't get a session five, just keep your hand raised and we'll get you one quickly. I thought it would be appropriate this morning to start out. You don't necessarily have to turn in your Bibles, but Acts chapter 17. We talked a little bit about this last week. Acts 17, starting in verse 32, it says, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed." Ain't that interesting? "And when they heard of the resurrection..." That's why we have been working so diligently and so hard the last few weeks on how to become a better witness when proclaiming the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. You can't just stop it. "He died for me and I gave my life to him." Tell them the rest of the gospel. He resurrected. We just sang about it. He's alive. He's still king on the throne. Last three words he said on the cross, he said, "It is finished. It's done." So that's why we've been working so diligently, so hard on understanding what the gospel is, the death, the burial, and the resurrection as we celebrate today. Now, when Jesus ascended, he said that we were going to be left a helper, someone to help us, which today leads us to session five, appropriating divine power. So now he's resurrected, he's ascended, he's left us a helper. Maybe saying, what does that have to do with us? Let's talk about it. Go ahead and open to the first page. Top of page two, appropriating divine power. How can we see results? Remember Acts 1:8. So Jesus has ascended and now he's saying, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses." You will receive power. Look at the next note. The power of the Holy Spirit results in a life that is a witness. The Holy Spirit results in a life that is a witness, to live like Jesus. Witnessing was not intended to be a program or a strategy. Really, witnessing should just be an overflow of the Holy Spirit in our life. It should just be an overflow. Just like if I took my water bottle that I sip on all the time and I decided to take the cap off, I want to pour this whole gallon of milk in it. What's going to happen? It's going to overflow. It's going to get everywhere. It's going to start touching other things around it. That's the way our life should be. Our life should be an overflow. We should be so filled with the Holy Spirit's power that it's just an overflow. Did I do that? Just an overflow of the Holy Spirit in our life. A lot of times, when people invite strangers to church, what is it that a lot of times they say? You know, when they invite somebody, usually the stranger sometimes will say something to the nature of, "I ain't coming to church. Church is full of hypocrites." That's the fruit that they're seeing. They're seeing the sinful nature. They're seeing some of the sins that we, a lot of times, will show off. That's what we're overflowing, is sin in our life. And that's what people are seeing. That's why they say, "It's just a bunch of hypocrites." But we should be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we're giving off fruit. Because here's the thing, when you're a true child of God, you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive a power source. And we're going to talk about that today. God gives us a power source, the fruits of the Spirit. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 on the screen. Read this with me if you would. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love. What is love? Not the song. Love. Putting someone else's interest above our own interest. How many husbands are in the room today? Raise your hand. Husbands, did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it command our wives to love their husbands? But it does command husbands to love your wives. Why do you think that is? Now, no amens here, ladies. Why do you think that is? Men, we are a selfish piece of work. Wow, ladies, y'all do good. Normally, I get at least one or two amens out there. That's good. We're selfish. We have to be commanded to love our wives. Love can come in other forms. It can be the difference of deference versus preference. I see in a lot of churches sometimes the lack of the area of love, or sometimes we see issues of love in this area. What I mean by deference and preference, it could be something as simple as, oh, let me tell you, Jacob, you know, we've been in this Sunday school class for 40 years, and now they were growing and they want us to birth a new Sunday school class and move to a different classroom. And I don't think that's right. If we're growing the kingdom of God, deference versus preference. We should be for growth, grow in His kingdom, grow in the church, grow in the body. Sometimes love is perverted. It's perverted in today's world. You think back even as a teenager. I know we got some young people in the room, so I'll be as PG as I can. A lot of times, young boys, what do they tell young girls that they're dating? Oh, I love you. I just love you. If you love me, you'll do these things for me. I love you. They don't know what love is. But they pervert it. They use it to their advantage. I love you. If you love me, you'll do these sexual things with me. If you love me. What about joy? Joy is produced by the Holy Spirit. Are you always happy? No. But if you're a child of God and you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you have joy. You have joy. Can lost people be unhappy? Sure. Peace. I had a lost person tell me one time, he said, Jacob, I think it's interesting. He said, when I look at Christians versus non-Christians, he says, it always seems like Christians deal with headaches and trials and tribulations so much better than people that don't profess Jesus. I said, that's because Christians have a power source of joy and peace that gets them through the tough times. That's why we handle situations a little better. Because we may not always be happy, but we have our joy, we have our peace that gets us through the tough times. Patience. Patience. What about driving rage? How many of you have driving rage? I love how Roy's hand was the first one up. Because like that week one, the 9-year-old little boy that drew the picture of hell, we already know what y'all were saying in the car amongst your kids. So, when you're driving on the highway, how's your patience? But it's not just about driving. This is tough. Our spouse, our family, our kids, our spouse. How's our patience? How's your patience with your spouse? The grocery line. Had to get some milk for today. Went through the 10 items or less line. I was in a hurry. Roy's shaking his head. I was in a hurry. 10 items or less. Took forever because the lady in front of me had 26 items in her cart. I know because I counted them. And I just wanted to say, lady, can't you read the sign? But I didn't. How's your patience? What about this? We're sitting down at the dinner table. We got our plate ready. We're all eating. We got fried chicken on the menu with some baked macaroni and cheese. Got some mashed potatoes here. Man, we're just dead, man. Some more of this over here. Man, that looks good. Man, it's for dessert. Apple pie, ice cream. Let me get about 3 scoops of ice cream on there. Maybe 4. It's nice and hot. Some of it's going to melt. It won't look as bad. Then we push away from the table. Oh. Whew. Man, I ate too much. Now, I know none of you have ever done that. You've never pushed away from the table. Ooh. Here's what I want you to do. Next time you're tempted to moan and groan when you push away from the table, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to, when you finish and you get ready to moan and groan, just push away. Oh, I'm so wicked and ungodly. Woo! Holy Spirit ain't within 10 miles of me. Oh, because really that's what we're saying. Kindness. Kind versus mean, how we treat others. Goodness. Doing good deeds. Faithfulness. Consistency serving God. Not up and down, up and down. Gentleness. Being gentle versus harsh. How's our tone when we speak to others? Self-control. How's your self-control? Not just blowing our top. These are all power sources that the Holy Spirit gives us. Are we utilizing them? Are we utilizing the power source, living a life that results as a witness? Oswald Chambers, I love this quote. Some of you may know him. He says, "The Holy Spirit is the one who makes real in you what Christ has done for you." Now notice here at the top of page 3, notice again in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Circle the word "on," where it says the Holy Spirit comes on you. Circle the word "on." We see here the disciples had the Holy Spirit in them. Because John 20, verse 22, let's read this on the screen. says, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So the disciples had the Holy Spirit in them, but they needed an empowering by the Holy Spirit. And they received it on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Let's read this on the screen together. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Circle the word filled, where it says all of them were filled. Circle that word filled. Draw a line up to the word on at the top of the page where you circled on. Just draw a line. Connect it. They're connected. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That's amazing. That being filled with the Holy Spirit results in evangelism. 3,000 were saved because of them being filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's a problem. There's a problem here. They leaked. They leaked. Then we see in Acts chapter 4 what happens. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So they leaked. They had to be filled again with the power because they sinned. And it's wonderful here. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, they get a boldness in sharing the gospel. They spoke the word of God boldly. So 3,000 were saved. They spoke the word of God boldly. It's interesting how being filled with the Holy Spirit leads to be a bold witness. Leads to be a bold witness. Let's go to the top page 4. So that leads us to, how does the Holy Spirit come on you? There's that word on again. How does the Holy Spirit come on you? Like the early disciples, if you are truly a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He came in when you were saved. Now, I'm not just talking about you joined a church. You joined a Sunday school class. I'm talking about truly saved. Born again, new creature, not just a religious churchgoer. You became a disciple when you were saved. Pop quiz. How many can tell me how many times the word Christian was mentioned in the Bible? Does anybody know? How many times was the word Christian mentioned in the Bible? Three times. Three times. Many will say it was a derogatory term that the pagans came up with to make fun. Oh, there comes them Christ followers, them Christians. But we learn to embrace it. Three times. But how many times is the word disciple mentioned in the Bible? 269 times. To be a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple. But we did learn to embrace the word Christian. And that's when we receive the Holy Spirit. It says it right here in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's read this on the screen if you would. Read this with me. Let's go to the next slide. Back up one or two. Back up two slides. Let's read it from your notes. Look in your notes right there below what we're talking about. Acts chapter 2, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. the promises for you and your children and all who are far off. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Also, like the first disciples, you need to be empowered to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded. Ephesians chapter 5 says, understand what the Lord's will is, be filled with the Spirit. I hear people ask me all the time, Jacob, I'm trying to figure out what the Lord's will is for my life. I'm just trying to understand what God's will is. I don't know yet. I know, to be filled with the Spirit. That's God's will for your life. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. So the question is, how are you to be filled with the Spirit? Now, we got busy earlier, and I didn't have time to warn Roy, but Roy's going to be helping me doing an illustration today. So, Roy, if you would, I'm going to have you come right here on the first step. If you don't mind, sir, I'm going to let you step up there. Now, your pastor, Roy, don't worry, you ain't got to say nothing. Does he love God? Yes. Yeah. Is Pastor Roy a man of God?
Yes.
Well, I'd say 3/4 of the church thinks you're a man of God, Roy. Now, here's what I want to do. How are we to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have Roy bring his hands up front. He's going to place them on my shoulders. And Roy's going to pray that I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then when I'm done, we'll start over here. You can get up and walk around. Roy's going to pray over you and pray that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit until we get everybody done. And we'll all be filled. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Thank you, Roy. Or would it be great? What happens when we leave this room today and we leak, we sin, we mess up, and I go home, Roy goes to his home or somewhere else and he's nowhere for me to find him? What happens? What if he goes on a trip tonight or tomorrow and he's gone? And I can't find Roy. Aren't you glad that God didn't design it that way? It sounds like it would be great. But He didn't design it that way. How are you to be filled with the Spirit? Now, I know many of you are looking up here wondering, what in the world is going on up here? I've got a little tub here with some grape juice. And I'm going to take this grape juice right here, and I want to fill the rest of this container up with some milk. Don't say ooh. This is what's in your communion cups down there. Now, immediately, you start to see, don't worry, I'm going to try not to spill this, Roy. You immediately start to see the milk start to curdle. And the longer it sits, the worse it gets. Eventually, it'll start looking like brains. It'll look like brains. Because it's curdling. Let's grow something. This is what our life is like when we just try to put a little God in it. This is putrid. This is disgusting. But this is what our life looks like when we just try to put a little God in it. Because what we see here is, look at the bottom of page 4. If something is to be filled with any substance, it must be emptied of anything already in it. If something is to be filled with any substance, it must be emptied. So here's what that's saying. In order, if I want to fill this container up with milk, it must be emptied before it can be filled. So I've got to empty this. Then I can fill it. The top of page 5. How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? You must empty yourself of anything and everything that does not please God. Let's look at 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 on the screen. Read this together with me if you would. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Look at the first three words of that verse there in your notes. If. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. We. Who's the we talking about? Us, believers. It's talking about believers, not non-believers. It's not talking about lost people here. If we as believers confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How many of you can remember every sin you've ever committed? So ain't it wonderful here that Scripture tells us that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to purify us from all unrighteousness, even the ones you can't remember. So that means I've got to come over here, and in order to be truly filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, to be cleansed, I've got to confess this sin. I've got to confess that sin. I've got to confess this sin. Yep, got to confess that too. You say, Jacob, you've sinned that much? Don't act all spiritual. So do you. So do you. So we got to confess that sin. Confess that sin. And confess all the sin. Then we can be filled. So we have to be emptied in order to be filled. So here's what I'm talking about. What are things that we have to confess? Well, they're really broken down. We have sins of commission. We have sins of omission. Sins of commission, things we know we shouldn't be doing, but we do them anyways. Bad things that we shouldn't do, but we do them. Those are sins of commission. It was a Sunday school class one time. The Sunday school teacher asked the class, this little 8-year-old boy, she said, What are sins of omission? The little boy stood up and said, those are the sins that I want to do. I just ain't got around to them yet. No. Sins of omission are good things that we know we should be doing, but we don't do them. We choose not to do them. Those are sins of omission. And really, they're broken into three categories here. Your first one, sins of every deed, action. Sins of every deed, action. What about stealing? Are you stealing from your company? Are you cheating on your taxes? As tempting as that is? What about young people in the room? What about cheating on a test? Cheating on a quiz? What about sexual immorality? Sexual immorality. It's really quite simple as the definition is. Pretty much anything that doesn't involve one man, one woman in marriage. Anything outside that is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. Has become rampant in today's society, almost to the sense that everybody is completely desensitized to sexual immorality. Completely desensitized to it. 30 years ago, some of this was unheard of. Unheard of! But today, just another day. Doesn't bother most Christians. How many of you have ever heard the term friends with benefits? Raise your hand. Friends with benefits. Now, like I said, I know we have young people in the room, but most of our young people in the room know more than we give them credit for in today's world. Friends with benefits. Doing sexual favors for a friend without any emotional attachment. No spouse, no marriage. Friends with benefits. What about sexting? How many of you have ever heard of sexting? Not saying you do it, just saying you've heard of it. Sexting. Texting or sending explicit or nude photos to someone else. Pornography. Do you know what the average age of most young girls, the first time that they view or come across pornography? 11. 11. You know what age boys typically come across pornography for the first time? Now, I'm not just talking about the internet. It's past that today. You can't even watch the Disney Channel now without something going on. The average age for a boy looking at pornography, 9. Seventy percent of Christian men have struggled with pornography. 40% of pastors have struggled with pornography. 1 out of 3 women struggle with pornography. It's sexual immorality. Here's some sins of omission. If the Bible commands me and you men to love our wife and we don't, is that a sin? Yes. Students in the room, if the Bible commands you to obey your parents and you don't, is that a sin? Yes. If the Bible commands us to witness, and it does, and if we don't, is that a sin? Yes. It is sin. There's also, next note, sins of every word. Sins of every word. I like to call these sins of the tongue. Sins of the tongue. Sins of the tongue. What about lying? Being disrespectful to your parents with your mouth, with the way you speak to them, with your arguing. What about cussing? Or for those Yankees in the room, cursing. I call it cussing. About cussing. Using the Lord's name in vain. It bugs me. I can't tell you how many times I've been in churches and I hear people constantly in church using the Lord's name in vain. OMG, GD, JC, especially OMG. In church. If you do it in church, I can only imagine what you say outside of church. And that's serious. It was punishable by death in the Old Testament. It was so serious. It's called blasphemy. Using the Lord's name in vain. How do you act at work? Do you tell dirty jokes? Do you go along with them when others are telling dirty jokes at work? Do you laugh along and participate? What about slander, gossip? These are real things. Slander, gossip. So what's the difference? Donnie, right?
Yes.
The difference in slander, gossip. Remind me your name.
Gary.
Gary and Donnie. Gary Donnie. Slander would be, if I was to come over and say, Gary, tell you something I heard about Donnie. It's pretty bad. And I go on to tell Gary what Donnie's done. Or Don. Don. That's what I said. And what if... Well, I'm talking about Donnie right here. See, you're gossiping. But we're on slander right now.
Okay.
So if I go on and I tell Gary what Donnie's done, and ain't any of it true, and he ain't here to defend himself,
guess what Don done?
It's slander. Slander. But what if I decide to come over here? I say, Donnie, let me tell you something about Gary. He sure does talk a lot. Let me tell you some more stuff about him that's true. I'm going to continue to tell him some stuff that is true but is negative. And Gary's not here to defend himself. And I keep telling you. That's gossip. And if you go along with it and you listen to me, you're participating in gossip and slander. So I just don't really see what the big deal is. Churches are splitting left and right all because of slander and gossip. And it's a sin. It's a sin. We do this everywhere we go. We use examples of staff a lot of times to keep illustrating this. So let me help you out with some more. This is a lot of times what we hear in different churches that we go to. Let me tell you about that David Miller. Driving me crazy. It's gossip. Gossip. Or you're at the barber shop, you're out hunting with your friends, golfing, or ladies, you're at the hair place with your friends and other church people. Gloria, let me tell you, that Roy, I just don't get much out of his preaching anymore. It's gossip. What about Brad? Brad, if Brad makes us sing that song one more time, I'm gonna vomit. It's gossip. It's gossip. It's wrong. The Bible says it's like a juicy morsel. What happens? Oh, I think I'll have me another piece. That's good. It's attractive. We want to tell it, but we also want to participate in it. We always have our ears turned on because we're looking for any juicy gossip we can hear. And then we may not be the one giving it out, but we're just as guilty participating because we're listening to it and we're engaging in it. It's gossip. Roy got nervous a minute ago when I picked this up. You say, why does he have that old hammer and that old nail? No, yeah, this is a railroad spike. Probably nothing even considerable what they used on Jesus. But the next time that you're tempted to gossip, no, I'm not going to hit you with a hammer. Roy might. Next time you're tempted to gossip, I want you to remember this sound. Jesus had to take nails and shed his blood for that little piece of juicy gossip that you're about to come out of your mouth. Jesus had to take nails and die on a cross for that little juicy piece of morsel that you're about to listen to. And we don't ever gossip with strangers. Who is it we gossip with? Our best friend. Gossip is sin. Slander is sin. Baptists are the... I'm going to give you another little tip here. Did you know that of all the denominations, Baptists are the best at starting new churches? Did you know that? They are. They're the best. Because somebody will get all upset and say, I'm leaving. So they go and they start Unity Baptist Church. About 3 months in,
I'm leaving.
I'm going to go over here. I'm going to start Love Your Neighbor Baptist Church. They're the best. Baptists are good at starting new churches. Gossip and slander will tear a church apart. And it's sin. Next note, sins of every thought. Sins of every thought. You say, what are some sins of every thought? Well, I'm not having sex with her. I'm just thinking about it. I'm just fantasizing about it. Lusting. I'm not stealing. I'm just coveting. What about unforgiveness? Bitterness. Do you have unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart this morning towards somebody outside this room, inside this room, maybe even God? Unforgiveness, bitterness toward God because of something that's happened. We're called in 1 John 1:9 to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If there's sin in your life right now, even as a believer, there's sin in your life that you haven't confessed. You're holding on to it. The Bible says you're quenching, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're quenching, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. So why aren't some Christians witnessing or feeling the full effects of the power of the Holy Spirit in their life as an overflow? Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's sin. If you were to stand in front of Jesus right now, with Him looking you eye to eye, is there anything that you would be ashamed of right now? Anything that the Holy Spirit's revealing to you right now that you would be ashamed of? To stand before Jesus right now and look Him in His face and tell Him that you're clean. You're pure. Now here's what I want to do this morning. I know this may seem a little old-fashioned. That's all right. Maybe we've talked about some sin in your life today that the Holy Spirit's convicting you about. We've spoken about it today, and you're being convicted right now. The Holy Spirit is chastening you with it. Or maybe I didn't mention it, but the Holy Spirit's convicting you of some sin in your life right now that's quenching the Holy Spirit. It's grieving the Holy Spirit. And He's put that conviction in you right now. There's something that you need to confess. So this morning, I'm going to ask everyone to come down to an old-fashioned altar and confess sin and pray. And confess sin that He's convicting you of right now. You may be saying, well, Jacob, why are you asking me to come up front? Well, you can come up front to the altar. If you can't physically kneel, the front rows are open. Come sit on the front row. Well, Jacob, why are you asking me to come? Because there's another sin I didn't mention. The sin of pride. You're worried what your neighbor's going to think of you when they see you get up. They're going to know you got sin in your life. That ain't none of their business what it is. It's between you and God. So I'm going to ask if you would just get up out of your seat, come down to an old-fashioned altar, and confess sin that's in your life. Maybe you need to come just confess Jesus is Lord. and truly become born again. Come confess Jesus is Lord. I'm going to stand over here out of the way. If you'd like to talk to me about confessing Jesus as your Lord, I'll be happy to talk to you. Would you come confess sin this morning? Take your time if you're still praying at your seat. There's no rush. This is the time to confess sin. It's in our life. If you're still struggling, you need to come. I invite you to come. Confess sin. Be purified and cleansed of all unrighteousness. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time that you've given us this morning to celebrate your wonderful resurrection. We know you're alive and well, you're King on the throne. We love you. We thank you so much for what you did for all of us on the cross. Thank you for this time you've given us this morning to convict our hearts, Lord, of sin in our life. or even convicting some of their need to be born again, to truly make you the Lord of their life by putting their full faith and trust in you and repenting and turning from sin. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for reminding us of all the sin in our life that we need to confess to you, to be made new, to be purified and cleansed. Especially as we get ready to take part in communion with you, Lord. Thank you, God, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Roy.
Deacons, ushers, front and center, as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. If you'll notice these guys on the front row, we're prayerful that within the next couple of weeks we're going to be able to get Deacon Family Ministry once again back up and rolling. You'll probably see some new faces there as well as some old faces, and it's always good to see both the new and the old faces as part of our deacon crowd. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. We're going to be blessed by Jim and Amy for our offertory today, but let's pray and ask the Lord's thanks upon our offering. Father, you're good to us, and all that we say and do, may we magnify you. Lord, all provision comes from you. Help us to truly be good stewards of what you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. Lord, help us to always remember it all belongs to you. And Lord, as we come to this time when we give back that portion which you have so richly and graciously blessed us with, may we be found faithful. Lord, bless each and every family. Bless the gift as well as the giver, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Think about what it must have been like to have met in that upper room again, one of those places that I got to walk just a couple months ago, to be in that particular room, to think of what it was like, but more important to think about what it is that Christ said to each and every one of the disciples and what he says to us. He says that as we enter into this time, it says, but let a man examine himself. And I pray that the Holy Spirit has already had you take a deep dive look into your life at this point, that those sins, omission, commission, and everything else along the way
that maybe he's brought up to you that you have confessed before him, that that you will stand ready today as we come around the Lord's table. So in honor of what the scripture tells us, it says, but let a man examine himself. Would you take those few moments to examine your heart to ensure that you're prepared as we come around the Lord's table? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come around your table today, Lord, we think about your body, which was broken for us. Lord, we think about how your flesh was ripped and torn and how the blood flowed from every inch of your body. And then, Lord, to think about the fact that you did that for me. You did that for each of us. And Lord, if we would have been the only person, you still would have done that. But Lord, we think about the fact that the resurrection conquers it all. And Lord, today you told us as your children to come into your presence, to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And Lord, today we do that to honor your command, but Lord, also to remember the cost. Lord, it's too easy for us to forget. Today, Lord, I pray that we will remember, not just today, but every day, the pain and the agony that you went through for me, for each of us, that we might have eternal life. Lord, help us to stand prepared before you today, and as we ask it in Jesus' name. Brother Dave, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
The most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of the living Christ. Lord, we just ask the blessing upon this bread and all those who partake of that as it represents the body of Christ who died for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The word of the Lord tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, it said that he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it. He passed it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Don, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that we received. Thank you for your Son that came and died on the cross for our sins. And as we celebrate this, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness and ask that you might be with us every day that we live. For we ask in your name, amen.
The word tells us, in a like manner also, when he supped, he took the cup. And he explains to his disciples, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Every time I think about that, I think about how exciting that would be. No longer would they have to go and repeatedly sacrifice animals over and over again. Jesus was explaining to his disciples that my shed blood will cover every sin and will be the ultimate sacrifice once for one and once for all. So he took the cup when he supped, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. The word says, for as oft as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we do show the Lord's death until he comes. Let me give you a couple things before we get out of here. Now, I do want to say this. We appreciate every believer witness, Jacob Dennis being with us the last several weeks. Take what you've learned and go put it to use. Don't set on it. You know, you gotta. If you're gonna reach somebody for Jesus, you gotta go tell them. Witness has to tell what they have to say. If you need some help, I'll go with you. Just call me. I'd be more than happy to go. We'll show you how it gets done. It's a lot of fun. Put it into practice. That's number one. Number two, you need to pray for yourself, because it's been several weeks since I've had a chance to preach. So next week, y'all in trouble, because you got me back, and we're gonna pull the trigger on that. But at any rate, I just want to tell you a few things that we've got going on. We'll get you out here. Vicki, we're changing it up again. You ready for me to change it up? Blessed be the tie. She's always ready for that. I'm old-fashioned when it comes down to that. How many of y'all old-fashioned in here? Y'all remember how we used to end things, communion, back in the old days, right? How'd we end it? Blessed be the tie. Now, David is an old music guy, too, which is a good thing, which means he's going to lead us. So we're going to surprise him with that. Now, listen, we're not going to do four verses or anything, but that's how we're going to dismiss. David will let us know anything that he needs to let us know. Then he will lead us. But before we do that, just very quickly, birthdays. Today, Brian Gardner is having a birthday today. If you get a chance, be sure to let him know how much we love him and appreciate him and wish him a happy birthday. This coming Wednesday, Bill Gardner celebrating a birthday. Thursday, Monica Queen will be celebrating a birthday. And then on Friday, Andy Avery, as well as Lonnie Raines. So be sure to wish those folks a happy birthday. We love them. We appreciate them. Activities for today. We don't have any further activities today. We've kept you a little longer than normal today, but that's okay. You'll have the rest of the day. You don't have to worry about it. You can have a good meal, spend time with family. Don't forget that the office is closed tomorrow, Easter Monday. But as always, if you need us, you know how to get us. I think everybody in here has got our cell phone numbers, and that's fine. Just if you need us, holler. Ladies monthly breakfast, April the 8th, Cagney's at a restaurant at Friendly, 9 a.m. That's your next thing you got going. And this is not in the bulletin or anything, but for health and safety members, you have a meeting next Sunday right after service in the conference room. Is there anything that I am forgetting? Don't forget, you know, if you didn't get a chance to get your picture made on the way out, again, Gary and Roger, thank you so much for doing our little picture frame out there, the fellowship folks who made fellowship time today possible, and for making things beautiful. Remember, today we celebrate the resurrection, because he is risen. He's risen indeed. Yes, sir. Yes, no D-Life mine today, nor tomorrow. Steve or Maury's D-Life won't meet on Easter Monday tomorrow. So you guys just enjoy those times together. I know there's something else. Oh, if there will be ushers at the door, you know, I'm just going to shake you down. You know, people always say, well, you know, preacher's always asking for money. Well, if I'm going to get blamed for it, I'm just going to do it anyway then. So might as well step up to the plate. Now, the guys that you see at the door, our ushers, we just take up a free will benevolence offering. That is to help anybody in our church when there are times of trouble that hit. That most of you people don't know about benevolence helps within our congregation that happens. That is what this goes to at the door. You can't run out. They've got you covered on all the doors, so you can't run out. You don't have to be embarrassed. You can walk past them. It's okay. But as the Lord leads, if you put something in there, we just wanted you to know that that's where it goes. One other thing, Phyllis back there, Phyllis. I want you to look at Phyllis. Phyllis is our communion leader right there. And I tell you, that lady right there takes her ministry of communion preparation seriously. And I love her so much for that, and I thank you. She's got a great team that she works with. Would you do me a favor in helping her out? There should be a garbage can by the door back there. Is there one back there, Randy? If you go out that way, please take your little communion cup and drop it in the garbage can there, because they'll be thrown away. Those pews are about 30 feet wide. I hate walking between those from one end to the other. We don't want Phyllis to have to do that, or her team as well. So if you could just drop your communion cup back there. Listen, if you're not going out that door, hand it to the usher at the door that's got the offering plate. We'll put them to double work, and they'll make sure that that we get them there. Jake, thank you again for sharing with us, for all the love. Guys, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. I pray that this is going to be a great, great day, and that we will never forget. It's all right if the bunny came by to visit your house, but the empty tomb is far greater, best decision that you will have ever made. So thank you for joining us today to fellowship, to come around the Word of God, to celebrate the resurrection. Now, if you would all stand with me, the old-fashioned day, if there's anything, before you take off, Vicky, if there's anything David has to let us know. And then if not, how about sending us off with Blessed Be the Tie? Okay.
Just one thing. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer today. If you are interested in working with us at Camp Carefree, it's all broken down by meals and stuff. There's a place for you to sign up. Please sign up. We'll have that out several weeks, but we need about 40 people to do that, and we've had it every year. I hope we'll have that again this year. So sign up before you leave. Vicki, let's sing. Bless you.